This is the Phyllis Schlafly Report from Eagle Forum. Mrs. Schlafly is a constitutional attorney, pro-family leader, and the author of more than 20 books, including No Higher Power, Obama's War on Religious Freedom, an important new book that exposes the undeniable campaign to secularize America by the Obama administration. And now, here's the president of Eagle Forum, Phyllis Schlafly.
There's an old adage that to the victors belong the spoils, but it looks like communist China is taking home the spoils from America's wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. China could prove to be the ultimate winner, even though it shed no blood and didn't give much aid. Communist China is right now the biggest user of Iraq's tremendous oil supply. Donald Trump summed it up best. He said, "We spent $1.5 trillion, we lost thousands of lives, but China is in there taking out all the oil, and we're getting nothing. How can our leadership allow this to happen?" Communist China also signed a strategic partnership with Afghanistan, and top Chinese government figures traveled to that country to announce that China will train 300 Afghan police officers. China is eyeing Afghanistan's estimated $1 trillion worth of unexploited minerals. Chinese companies have acquired rights to extract vast quantities of copper and coal. China made a deal for oil exploration concessions, and China is looking at extensive deposits of lithium, which can be used in batteries and nuclear components. China is the only country that has the ready cash to foot the level of investment needed to extract the materials from Afghanistan. Central Asian experts say that superpowers have historically been involved in Afghanistan because it is an Asian crossroads, and China is no exception. The Obama administration has even allowed China to take over strategic drilling interests in the Gulf of Mexico. This deal puts China in control of valuable drilling interests, and according to a pending Freedom of Information Act lawsuit, it's worth mentioning that this deal will also put cash in the pockets of Obama campaign donors and bundlers.
This has been the Phyllis Schlafly Report. Double-digit unemployment has been blamed on the economy, outsourcing of jobs to foreign countries, illegal aliens taking U.S. jobs, illiteracy, free trade, and Washington's misguided stimulus bill. At eagleforum.org, we want to hear your opinion. Join the blog conversation with Phyllis Schlafly at eagleforum.org. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for the Phyllis Schlafly Report.
John Stadtmiller here. Sometimes in life, you get lucky. Well, today is your lucky day. Our sponsor, AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com, have just announced their biggest savings yet on their one-month food supply by Linden Farms. This great one-month pack includes over 360 servings based on 2,000 calories per day. While supplies last, you'll get one free month of long-term emergency food entrees when you buy three. This is a massive savings of $600 on a four-month supply. Again, AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com is giving you buy 3 months, get an additional 1 month of food free. This is a great deal. Act fast. The site, again, is AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com or call them directly at 818-720-0759, 818-720-0759. Let them know John sent you. Do it today. AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. Veteran-owned and operated.
Ground beef, eggs, butter, cheese, soup, sandwiches, strawberries, ice cream, coffee, and more. What do these foods have in common? They all come in storable, long shelf life food for you to save and use in uncertain times. Rather, if it is a meal or a snack for a family or just yourself, CampingSurvival.com offers a huge variety of storable food for you to be prepared anytime. Go to CampingSurvival.com to order all your food. Eat today, save it for tomorrow, or store it for years to come. CampingSurvival.com sells healthy, nutritious, storable food in number 10 cans and pouches. Order online today at CampingSurvival.com. Use code FREEDOM and receive 5% off. CampingSurvival.com. Remember, save 5% off with code FREEDOM at CampingSurvival.com on all your prepared food needs.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with the return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, the government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper. Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offeror can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
This is the second hour of Spingola Speaks. Our guest today is James Perloff. That's P-E-R-L-O-F-F. He is the author of Truth is a Lonely Warrior. It is available as a Kindle version and as a soft cover at Amazon. He is also the author of The Shadows of Power, The Council on Foreign Relations, and The American Decline, and Tornado in a Junkyard, The Relentless Myth of Darwinism, and The Case Against Darwin, Why the Evidence Should Be Examined. Additionally, he wrote Freedom Shall Return. Already, we were talking about monarchies and the European Union and multiculturalism, immigration, job loss, and it was all orchestrated and planned. This whole thing. It's not anything that happens in politics. As Roosevelt said, it is not a coincidence, but it was planned that way, or something to that effect.
Yes, he did say that there were no politics and no accidents in politics. But the point is that there is a continuum through history, a pattern we can see when we see that policy has changed for a little from Republican to Democratic. Back to Republican administrations, the same foreign policy objectives, the same support of NAFTA, the same people are calling the shots from behind the scenes. Perhaps I should pick up, though, just on the question you asked about monarchies, because I sort of led into that by saying there were several means of destroying nations, and I didn't quite get to the monarchies.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a popular thing amongst many American patriots, because we've been schooled to think of monarchies as always bad. In reading the works of foreign relations expert Hilaire de Berrier, I learned about the good side of monarchies. And one is that they unify nations. Bao Dai, the emperor of Vietnam, said that if the Americans had given him 1/1,000th of the sum they spent to depose him, he could have defeated the communists. See, nations tended to rally ethnically around their king. He was a unifying force. When you remove the kings and install what they call democracy, all of a sudden the nation is divided. It's divided into various parties. And so democracy has a dividing effect. And once a nation is divided and splintered, it becomes much more easily to absorb into a world government. That's the point I'm making. It's not to deny that there were evil amongst the monarchs or that they could be evil people, but just to point out from the satanic Illuminati perspective why they wanted to get rid of all those kings. And it's very clearly laid out in John Robinson's 1798 book, Proofs of Conspiracy.
Oh, yes, that was quite a book. And pretty early, 1798 is when he wrote that.
Right, so I have Marvin say, there were whack jobs even back then, huh? I said, yeah, well, there's always been people outside the box who've been willing to tell the truth, and you'll find that was true for there were people involved in the intelligence service during Pearl Harbor who were willing to come out and tell the truth. In every one of these episodes, there's always been some honest people in our government, and they had to come out to small presses. When Rear Admiral Robert Theobald wrote his book about Pearl Harbor, he had to go to a small publishing house, and even Admiral Kimmel, the Pacific Fleet Commander, had to go to the Devon Adair Company in Connecticut, a small publishing house. Here's a guy, Pacific Fleet Commander, wouldn't he establish a press like to publish his book? No, because it went against our foreign policy dictatorship, and so even these guys had to go outside the box. So people need to start doing that to look at alternative media, because you're not going to find the truth there or very much of it in the mainstream.
Oh, how true. And, of course, the Congress, when they were, when the Kimmel family asked and the Short family asked Congress to reestablish or reevaluate what they blamed Kimmel and Short for, Congress, I can't remember what date it was, but fairly recently, they said, no, we're going to stick with the conclusions that were drawn by the commission back in 1945 or 46, whenever they had that commission. So, it
well, you won't
amazing.
Get much justice out of the establishment, that's for sure. And that's what we're really trying to do here is to lend some truth and justice to people's understanding of events.
Yes, exactly. All righty, so we talked about the destruction of nations in order to have a one-world government. Let's talk about revolutions, Marxism, and merger.
Right. Many of your listeners, I'm sure, are familiar with the fact that revolutions are not as spontaneous as they're portrayed to be. And we talked here some about the French Revolution, how it's secretly planned and the Illuminati by the Illuminati and Masonic lodges. But we talked specifically here a lot about communist revolution. Revolution is one way to overthrow a monarch, of course, and overthrow an existing government so that it can be weakened and gradually turned into a province of a world government. And we talk in this chapter about the love affair, the secret love affair between capitalists and communists. You know, the chief lender for this Soviet Union was the Chase Manhattan Bank, and David Rockefeller had private landing rights for his jet in Moscow during the Cold War. And Chase's headquarters was at 1 Karl Marx Square. Well, that's not what we were told. We were told that capitalists and communists were enemies. But, you know, we've got the Ford company building the Gorky plant that built the trucks that rode down the Ho Chi Minh Trail, and American capitalist built the Kama River plant, which the Soviets used to build trucks for their invasion of Afghanistan. They've been built up with those lend lease, you know, billions of dollars of aid during World War II. So all during this time, both revolutions and the Soviet Union itself were funded by the capitalists through trade agreements that they would engineer as well as loans. But communism had been a tool for overthrowing governments. And now what you see is this very interesting phenomena where you've got, in 1989, you suddenly got communism moderating towards socialism, right? Instead of the hardcore Stalinist viewpoint, you've got Gorbachev and you've got Glasnost, you've got Perestroika. They moderate towards socialism while the republics in the West start moderating themselves away from free enterprise and our original form of government into socialism. And so all of a sudden you've got this situation where you've got, hard to tell them apart, right? Almost like the pigs and the people in Orwell's Animal Farm. At the end, the animals looked across, they couldn't tell the pigs from the farmers, right? Because the capitalists and the communists are growing closer together. And we quote some people on merger, the key quote, which a lot of people are familiar with, was when Norman Dodd, who is the legal counsel for, director of research, excuse me, for the Congress's Reese Committee, which was investigating tax-free foundations, he went to the Ford Foundation, and Rowan Gaither, the head of the Ford Foundation, told him off the cuff that the purpose of the foundations was to create a situation where the United States could be merged with the Soviet Union. That was in 1953. That was looking ahead a long ways, but we see it happening, heading step by step towards world government.
Indeed, and that's certainly where they're going. And didn't Rockefeller, who did he fire? He fired Khrushchev?
Well, there's a rumor that to that effect, because right after David Rockefeller went to Russia in 1964, Khrushchev was very shortly thereafter removed from power, and there was certainly speculation that he had said a few things that had led to that event.
Right. That was in whose book? Nundare Collet Conspiracy.
Correct. Yep. That was a book that really got me going on this. It was the first book to start
me
to make
too.
Sense of history for me.
I read that book and I thought, oh my gosh, we've got to look into this further. And that's been some years ago. And then I got kind of waylaid. You know, people, when you first start talking about these things to your friends, they look at you askance and think you're nuts.
That is the phenomenon of the big lie. When people have been told something repeatedly, they assume it must be true because of, well, I heard it on CBS, I heard it on NBC, and I saw it in Time Magazine, so it must be true. But that's when you step outside and you look at the corporate control of the media, and then you see, does their explanation make sense, or does the alternative explanation make sense? The cries of people like Admiral Stockdale and Admiral Kimmel trying to tell people the truth, take a look and examine the materials in themselves and compare them side by side to see whose explanation is more sensible and more honorable.
Absolutely. And of course, when you're young and you're impressionable and you want to have friends, you find that if you bring these things up to your friends, that they tend to avoid you if they really are in a state of denial when they don't really want to look at the truth.
People, you know, that happens to go also for talking to people about God, is there a God, and talking to them about, you know, is there a God who we're answerable to, and should we therefore our conduct be moral? You'll lose yourself, a lot of friends that way too. So what we're really talking about, Dana, is the flip side of the truth about God. Now we're talking about the truth about evil.
Exactly. Alrighty, we're going to a 3-minute break. We'll be right back. We will take your calls at 800-313-9443. Be right back.
Herbal Healer Spring Sale. 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes. COQ10 with hawthorn, glucosamine chondroitin, sea cucumber, colloidal minerals, superfam and super male plex, colon enhancer, our top selling liquid, cow mag vitamin D, MSM sulfur capsules, and elderberry power capsules. We also offer certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Free memberships and free online newsletters also available at herbalhealer.com. Herbal Healer has been serving the natural medicine industry for 25 years. This is a company you can count on. Visit herbalhealer.com today. Herbalhealer.com. That's herbalhealer.com. For many years, coffee lovers have learned that for the freshest coffee, you need to roast your own beans. Unfortunately, that usually meant paying more per pound for coffee than you could get it at the local grocery. Those wanting to store rich coffee for long-term use have been frustrated with the lack of quality coffee available with a long shelf life. So we usually settle for brand name coffee, either ground or instant. But now we have another solution. Canned green coffee beans. Green coffee beans have not been roasted. And since the bean is not cracked yet, the shelf life is many years longer than roasted or ground coffee. Due to the way it's packed, you can expect these to stay fresh for 20-plus years. Go to campingsurvival.com to order your canned green coffee beans. A single can is only $11.94. Order online today at campingsurvival.com. Use code FREEDOM and receive 5% off. Campingsurvival.com. Campingsurvival.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. Our guest today is James Perloff, the author of Truth is a Lonely Warrior. And you talk about some of these people that had had connections to the Soviet Union and who helped the Soviet Union, Armand Hammer, Averell Harriman, Cyrus Eaton, and some of the bank loans, and some of the, and you talk about the Stern Gang. Alfred R. Stern. So why don't you tell us about some of these people who were so helpful?
Oh, well, certainly They were all backers of the Soviet Union. And actually, Cyrus Eaton, who was an industrialist that got started with John D. Rockefeller, was given the Lenin Peace Prize. There was the tremendous influx of capital, as we're talking about, into the Soviet Union all throughout the days of the Cold War. And the Soviet Union could not have survived without our help. Joseph Stalin admitted he would have lost the Second World War without the billions of dollars of aid we were pouring in then, which they barely repaid after the war was over.
Right. You talk about David Sarnoff, the vice president of NBC, and chairman of NBC International was Alfred R. Stern, whose grandfather, Julius Rosenwald, is estimated to have donated over $18 million to Joseph Stalin.
Well, you've got, of course, Kuhn Loeb gave $20 million in gold to Trotsky to bring into Russia for the revolution. When the Tsar abdicated, Trotsky was still in New York City. And Kuhn Loeb, which was also the bank that Paul Warburg was a partner in, also put $50 million in the Bank of Sweden for Lenin and Trotsky. So this wasn't just a spontaneous uprising of the masses, but a really interesting one that I do mention in here is Victor Rothschild. He was the most powerful man in England back in the time of World War II. In his book, The Fifth Man, Roland Perry identified him as the fifth man. You might recall the Burgess MacLean Philby Blunt spy ring. They were always looking for the fifth man. It was him. He was a powerful capitalist banker, yet he was responsible for passing many government secrets to the Soviets because during World War II, he was actually an inspector for MI5, and he was given complete authority over state security. He was, at that time, most powerful man in Britain. But Perry spoke to former KGB agents that confirmed that Victor Rothschild was working for them. I mean, not in terms of his level of authority, but he was giving the Soviets secrets as a wealthy capitalist banker. So this whole illusion that capitalists and communists are diametrically opposite is false. In fact, the communists were financed by the capitalists to overthrow monarchies and overthrow national governments to pave the way for them to be taken over by the World Bank and the IMF and the ultimate New World Order, United Nations spun system that they envision.
Exactly. You talk about Alfred K. Stern, who fled to Cuba with a second wife, the former Martha Dodd. Now, wasn't she the daughter of an ambassador to, where was her father an ambassador to? I think Germany.
I'd have to look that one up.
Okay.
That was just a quote that I'd gotten from Hilaire Duberrier, which just added more fuel to this picture of capitalists helping the communists.
Indeed. All right. And so many people were infiltrated. I mean, like this was the daughter of an ambassador. And you think, well, how could these people go against their country or apparently go against their country when in fact they're supposed to be representing? But then you have to look, well, they're like politicians. They don't represent the country. They represent the people who are attempting to establish the New World Order. And we hear about all of these. Well, you mentioned Nicholas Murray Butler, and who belonged to the Fabian Society. Do you want to talk at all about the Fabian Society and what they were doing in all of this?
Well, of course, Fabian socialism is a step-by-step communism, you might call it. In Russia, they were able to seize control of it. A nation almost overnight with a revolution, and that happened in certain countries. But in a place like America with a strong Christian foundation, or a place like Britain, it's not been possible to do that. You have a pretty big middle class that doesn't envy the upper class enough to want to overthrow it. So in America, instead of having a communist revolution, you've got a Fabian socialist process taking place, where in Russia, the communists seized control of churches and tried to destroy the Christian church. In America, you've got the Supreme Court step-by-step outlawing school prayer, outlawing displays of the Ten Commandments. Step-by-step, you destroy religion. Step-by-step, through socialistic measures, business regulations, businesses are taken over. It's not one swift revolution, but it might take a century or two. But step by step, you end up with a communist state in the end. Look at Obamacare. It's a communist measure, which never would have been considered even conceivable a few decades ago. So Fabian socialism, it's gradual communism.
Exactly. Wow. Very, very interesting stuff. You have a graph about one world government. I like the fact that you've put graphs and charts, and people are visual. They learn visually more rapidly than they do from hearing things or from reading things. And so charts really add a lot of, in addition to Marvin, they add a lot of interest to your book. I like Marvin.
Well, try to put graphs in there when they can be useful to visualizing facts that otherwise might be abstract.
Sure. Okay. Chapter 10, Satan's Control Structure. And you talk about the golden age of television. And in the 50s, let me read this. The 1950s saw what was called the golden age of television. Every program was a family show.
Right.
By design, there was no sex, gore, or foul language. Boy, have things changed.
Oh, absolutely. And what the point that I was making there was that this was not, again, once again, not by happenstance. You know, back in the 50s, as I'm sure you know, if they had the stuff that's on TV today, the foul language, the political agendas, the gore, the horror, nobody would have bought a TV set back then. So they had to start out very gently with family values and your father knows best and Leave It to Beaver and all these G-rated family shows. That's how they got the televisions into the homes. But once TV reached a saturation point, which was about 1963, they gradually started getting rid of those shows and started progressively introducing, you know, politically correct stuff. By 1971, you had All in the Family, where, you know, conservatives were portrayed as Archie Bunker. And that was just a step-by-step process. It's slow, it's patient, but it's by design. It wasn't by chance that it went this way. It wasn't just public demand that we now end up with the kind of filth we see on television today. It was always designed to be that way, but somebody had to be smart enough to get those televisions into homes in the first place. It's amazing when you look at the process.
Indeed. Now, you have a list in this chapter 10. And you say the CFR is not unique. It has dozens of foreign counterparts. And then you give a list. Now, in Britain, it's called the Royal Institute of International Affairs. In Canada, it's the Canadian Institute of International Affairs. In Germany, it is German Society for Foreign Policy. And you go all the way down the line. And so these different institutions, and a lot of them end with international relations or international affairs. These are all internationalist in nature and dedicated to a one world government.
That's right. And the point I'm making here is that, you know, in my book, The Shadows of Power, I focused on American foreign policy and the Council on Foreign Relations. But what I'm trying to make clear in this new book, Truth is a Lonely Warrior, is that the CFR is just one component of a global scheme. And these groups network with each other, and they do so through a number of avenues. Of course, one is well-known as the Bilderberger meetings, which occur annually when the leading modules from government and banking and media and multinational corporations meet together to discuss policy in secret. There's no reports. Even the source of funding for the Bilderbergers has never been revealed. Then, of course, you got the meetings of the Trilateral Commission, which was founded by David Rockefeller in 1973, Trilateral, referring to three areas, Asia, Europe, and America. And these are some of the mechanisms we talk about in this chapter of how the establishment coordinates policies between nations.
Exactly. All righty, we are going to a three-minute break. We'll be right back, and we do invite your phone calls at 800-313-9443. Be right back with our wonderful guest today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology. All while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureFectFilters.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Everyone around me seems to get sick but me. My brother got the flu twice, my mother was down with some sort of fever, people at work were taking sick days off, and others were just plain tired and run down. And me? Well, I just keep feeling great all the time with Extendovite. My grandfather used to talk about the power of garlic and other herbs he took that kept him healthy. I'm lucky. Extendovite was just what I needed to keep me healthy. And Extendovite is all natural. Extendovite was designed for the heart but does so much more by keeping me healthy all the time. I'll take Extendovite forever. Get your 2-month supply for only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. My name is Rick, and you can be like me just by calling 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Guest today is James Perloff. That is P-E-R-L-O-F-F. He is the author of Truth is a Lonely Warrior. And you were talking about the Bilderbergs and some other issues, other organizations. We were going over the list in various countries of the organizations that they work together. They coordinate their plans and and you mentioned the Trilateral Commission. David Rockefeller founded it in 1973, and Jimmy Carter was a charter member, and they probably approached him with that opportunity. At the same time, they said, "Hey, do you want to be president? Okay, if you do, here's what we need." So.
That's right, and the Trilateral Commission would dominate his cabinet along with the CFR. And interesting enough, as I recall, Jimmy Carter never mentioned the Trilateral Commission in his memoirs, his White House memoirs.
Imagine that. Oh, goodness, no surprise there. They pretty much conceal everything, and they play the role until they pass out of into history. Alrighty, let's see, Freemasonry.
Right, we have a chapter on Freemasonry, which I think is important to discuss, and you know, we do this with the understanding that we're not directing sinister accusations against the vast majority of Freemasons in America today. And my grandfather was a Freemason. My mother was a member of the Order of the Eastern Star. And, you know, in America, for most Freemasons, are just involved in innocent socialization and charity work. But nonetheless, there is a dark side of Freemasonry as well. Certainly was involved, Grand Orient Freemasonry is certainly involved in most of the revolutions in Europe. The French Revolution was very much a Masonic event, and actually quote Masons, leading Masons on this, okay? They're also behind the 1910 Portuguese Revolution that installed a new government that put, on their currency, they put the Masonic signs. They're behind the, Garibaldi Revolution, the Young Turk Revolution that overthrew the Sultan, in Turkey, and, I might mention that quite a few figures in this whole conspiratorial picture we're drawing, such as Lenin and Trotsky, were both Freemasons, as well as people like Nelson Aldrich and Paul Warburg, a 33rd degree Mason. So there's definitely been a role of Freemasonry using its legalized secrecy to do things in secret, and I think you'll find that there is more than one strain of Freemasonry, so that those who are involved in the innocent strains become rather angry when you impute anything negative to Freemasonry, but there's no doubt that it's played a great hand in being used by the Illuminati for their world plans. And if you look at, and we were talking about Fabian socialism, right? Mm-hmm. We don't have any monarchs in this country to overthrow today, so there's no need for a revolution or Freemasons to be involved with it. But as far as Fabian socialism goes, you look at the Supreme Court, the ones who made the chief decisions that have, interpreted the Constitution against religious liberty, Hugo Black, William O. Douglas, Earl Warren, Thurgood Marshall, Potter Stewart, all high-ranking Freemasons. And if you look at that, it becomes pretty clear, although these guys take an oath to uphold the Constitution, they've got another oath in place, an oath to a secret society, which I would suggest they may have held as being more binding than their oath to uphold the Constitution and certainly more threatening to themselves.
Indeed. And in addition to the Supreme Court being full of Freemasons, I think that a lot of the military leadership in this country for some time has also been Freemasonry.
Yes, it's been a very, very important recruiting ground. And at the upper levels, there seems to be a measure of satanic activity. And I do quote former Freemasons on that. I'll mention something else interesting. This has not come out in the book, but considering our own revolution, you know, almost half the generals in the Continental Army were Freemasons. Here's a little bit tidbit. I have an article that's going to go online in a day or two on the Battle of Lexington. I grew up in Lexington, Mass. You know the Battle of Lexington. Of course, it was started the American Revolution.
Sure.
Here's a little tidbit that's in that article. Paul Revere was dispatched on his famous ride by Joseph Warren from Boston. And he sent a second writer as well named William Dawes, and they both rode to the house in Lexington where John Hancock was staying the night before the battle. But here's something a lot of people don't know. Joseph Warren was the Grand Master of St. Andrew's Masonic Lodge in Boston, and Paul Revere and William Dawes and John Hancock were also all members of that lodge. Now, that's something you don't read about in a history book, but it makes you start to wonder if there's something to Paul Revere's ride that went beyond what history books tell you, especially you realize that Paul Revere became the Grand Master of the Grand Lodge of Massachusetts after the war. Did that have something to do with his subsequent rise to glory in history? We won't get into that today, but I want to do a show with you on the American Revolution, specifically the Battle of Lexington. It's going to be an interesting show if we can do it.
Yeah, that would be very interesting. Now, you talk about the Illuminati and its control of Freemasonry in Europe, and you refer to Robison and Barruel and others who have talked about this, and Weishaupt, who actually worked with the Rothschilds, and they infiltrated Freemasonry, and so it changed the structure and what Freemasonry was all about. And of course, they've also been involved. Freemasonry has been involved in some assassinations.
Right. And to take an example, the assassination of Archduke Ferdinand, if you read your standard history text, says that was simply done by Serbian nationalists. But they don't tell you that almost all those men were Freemasons. And if you look at the minutes of the trial of the assassins, one of them openly boasted that in Freemasonry it was permitted to kill. And there's no question that in Serbia, the Freemasons had handed down an edict of death for Archduke Ferdinand, but that's not being reported in the conventional history books. So you definitely see the role of secret societies. Secret societies are very important to the Illuminati because when people take these oaths of absolute allegiance, they then become very reliable servants to carry out dark deeds.
Indeed. Let's take a phone call, and then we'll get back to this Freemasonry thing. Let's take Kent in West Virginia. Kent, welcome to the program.
Yeah, hi, Deanna. Yeah, you were talking about the various organizations, you know, the Trilateral Commission and the RIAA in England and the German organization. And I don't think we in the Northern Hemisphere should consider ourselves exclusive, because I listen a lot to Radio Australia, and I hear constant references to this organization down there called the Lowy Institute, which just happens to be owned by that poor, unfortunate Frank Lowy that just seems to get his buildings blown up all over the world. So, you know, they're down, they're working down in Australia, too. It's not just up here in the Northern Hemisphere.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's just another institute for him to add to his research list.
Oh, thank you. How do you spell Lowy, by the way?
Lowey.
Well, thank you. Actually, I hadn't even encountered that myself, but there are so many branches to this thing that it's difficult to be acquainted with them all.
Yeah.
Thank you. Well, it's no question that that we're talking about a very international order. To create a world government requires control of each country, and that requires control of its politicians and its policymakers. And so no surprise at all that this sort of thing is happening in Australia as well.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, thanks a lot.
Did you have another comment or question?
No. Well, I just happened to see Sheldon Adelson who gave a speech up in New York saying that we ought to the sort of royal we, you know, like meaning the U.S., but the royal we, you know, being the and that we ought to nuke Iran. He suggested we find a space out in the desert in Iran somewhere and nuke it, you know, where there's an uninhabited area and say, well, just to show that we mean business, you know, the royal we mean business, like he's speaking for America, you know. So I don't know whether you've seen that or not, but that's worth checking out.
Indeed.
Well, there's no question that war drum has been beating for, you know, we saw it for Syria, and, of course, they've had Iran on the hit list for a long time. But I try to remind people that that current Iranian regime was actually put in power of us when the United States foreign policy dictated that the pro-Western Shah leave Iran back in 1979, and Western intelligence services were then backing Ayatollah Khomeini. So when they talk about we should go to war with Iran, we have to look at ourselves and say, well, we put these guys in power. Now you want to go to war with them? No way. We really need to know our history and not repeat our mistakes or allow our leaders to repeat them.
I agree with you 100%. All right, well, thanks a lot.
Thank you,
Kent. All righty. You talked about the Young Turk Revolution and the Ottoman Empire and the Masonic influence in that situation.
Right. When in doing so, I quoted the Freemasons themselves. Hold on just a minute because I don't have it in front of me. But the Masonic Review Acacia said, quote, a secret Young Turk committee was founded in Salonika, as the town had the greatest percentage of Jewish population in Europe. It was especially qualified for this purpose. And there were many Freemason lodges in Salonika in which the revolutionaries could work undisturbed. The Sultan was defenseless against them, and he could not prevent his own downfall because they were under the protection, these lodges of European diplomacy. That's a quote from a Masonic journal.
All righty. We are going to a 3-minute break. We'll be right back with our guest today, James Perloff.
World-renowned physician and stem cell expert Dr. David Steinblock, D.O., and his research staff have spent years developing all-natural formulations that support the body's own stem cell production and mobilization system. An everyday stem cell supplement, creating the birth of Stemgevity. Stemgevity stem cell mobilization formula is for use by men, women, and children of all ages to support your body's stem cell system naturally, quickly, and safely. Stemgevity helps support your heart and circulatory system, bones and joints, liver, skin, brain, and much more. Order your bottle now at Stemgevity.com today. That's STEMGEVITY, Stemgevity.com. Or call now toll-free, 800-300-1063. Buy two bottles and receive a third bottle free by mentioning RBN. Anyone who wants to get healthy needs Stemgevity. Call 800-300-1063 today.
That moment of panic. Sheer terror, really. You're afraid to answer the phone. Frightened by who might be at the door. If you're facing foreclosure or being harassed by debt collectors, you know the feeling. You need to visit whatliesinyourdebt.com to turn the tables on the banksters, collection agencies, and other crooks. Whatliesinyourdebt.com has solutions. Whatliesinyourdebt.com features live training webinars from experts, a member forum, support from experts who've been where you are right now and came out the other side in a better financial situation. If you are like millions of Americans who are behind on their mortgage, behind on their credit cards, or just being harassed by debt collectors, then this system is for you. We promise. If you cannot stop your foreclosure, even if it's imminent, if you cannot stop those debt collectors from bugging you, if you cannot clean up your credit, and finally, if you cannot make a few $1,000s during the entire process, make money from the debt collectors, yes, at whatliesinyourdebt.com, we will refund your money 100% in the first 60 days. Don't fear the bill collectors anymore. Visit whatliesinyourdebt.com.
This is Dr. Robert Rowan here to give you an important message regarding stem cell treatment. World-renowned physician, stem cell expert, and friend Dr. David Steinblatt has performed over 8,000 stem cell treatments since 2001. Bone marrow stem cells are completely legal to do here in the USA. The bone marrow stem cell treatment is not only fast, done in less than 2 to 3 hours, but is relatively pain-free and has little to no recovery time. Dr. David Steinblatt and his office are able to help and treat patients who suffer from cerebral palsy, traumatic brain injury, stroke, macular degeneration, arthritis, Parkinson's disease, congestive heart failure, and more. Personally using their services for my knee and seeing great improvement, Dr. David Steinblatt is highly recommended by me. Go to stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 to find out more. Again, stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 today to receive more information.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. Our guest today is James Perloff. And in your book, you talk about the Federal Reserve architect, Paul Warburg, being a 33rd degree Mason. And then you mention that at least 14 presidents, and also including Edward Mandel House, Nelson Aldrich, were both Freemasons. And then you say that 14 presidents have been Freemasons.
That's right, and listings can be found online. Well, you know, I was once talking to a gentleman about this, and I pointed out how the Federal Reserve had been created and created this money machine for the U.S. government and for the bankers, which could fund wars. And then, lo and behold, 6 months after the Fed was passed, the Federal Reserve Act was passed, Archduke Ferdinand was assassinated, World War I began, and we participated in the war, and our debt went from $1 billion to $25 billion. Relatively manageable, $1 billion. $25 billion has been out of hand ever since. Now, as I say, it's over $15 trillion, of course. But this gentleman asked me, well, how can you link the Federal Reserve to Archduke Ferdinand's assassination? Well, one way is to understand that Paul Warburg, the founder of the Fed, was a 33rd degree Mason from Europe, and the assassination was carried out by Freemasonic lodges in Europe. So you see, there is a connection. And Freemasonry has been one of those avenues, but again, we're not trying to impute sinister things to the broad majority of Freemasons in America today.
Right, and you also have the image of a $1 bill with the Masonic emblems on them, and you mentioned that FDR was a 33rd degree Mason, and he is the one that altered, altered our currency to include these images.
Right, very many Masonic images. The eagle has 32 feathers on one wing and 33 in the other. Those are the two highest degrees of Masonry. Of course, the pyramid is not an American symbol. It's a Masonic symbol with the all-seeing eye on top, which just demonstrates the role of secret societies in influencing our government. But I think we're on our last segment here, are we not, Deanna?
Yes.
So I thought maybe what I should do is just summarize a little bit of what the rest of the book is about in a minute or two.
Sure. And we also have another caller, so we can...
Oh, okay. Sure, why don't we take the caller first?
Okay, Fred in Michigan, welcome.
Good, thank you, Deanna. Okay, so there in Chicago, I heard a week or so ago that Rob Emanuel's, I think, campaign manager or something, who had received over $100 million for his UNO, some UNO charter school system. If I recall correctly, was being indicted, and I was thinking, well, isn't this amazing how throughout history there have been highly placed, what I will call, satanic, Babylonian, Talmudic Jewish entities in the highest positions, and lawyering, what I will say, is the most diabolical, insidiously diabolical, enslaving profession ever known to mankind, or ever forced upon mankind. Seems to be orchestrated, directed, administered by satanic, Talmudic, Jewish entities. And so I'd like his response. Oh, and I'm B'nai B'rith. I think B'nai B'rith originated as a Freemasonic lodge. And from what I've read, these various people, Jewish people throughout history, have boasted, including prominent rabbis, have made these provocative statements such as the wars are the Jews' way of making, you know, ridding the earth of Goyim, especially the Christians. Oh, yeah. And I'd like them to corroborate whether Alexander Solzhenitsyn was accurate when he stated in the Gulag Archipelago, Volume 2, that the Gulag was organized and administered by the people that he named, which happened to all be, well, satanic, Babylonian, Talmudic Jews.
Okay, James, your comments.
Certainly. Well, we were going to summarize what was included in the rest of my book. I do have a chapter on Zionism, and certainly there's no question that the Zionist and Masonic influences have been collaborating for many years. And we also have a chapter called The Most Hidden Book. It's on the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion, and which, of course, has been long proclaimed a hoax, and which I assumed it to be simply because everybody has said so. But in that chapter, we take apart the protocols, and we show how just remarkably true they have come since their first publication in 1903. For example, predictive of world government, predictive of inflation, predictive of presidents being given the right to override constitutional authority, the use of sports and entertainment to distract the populace, the enslavement of governments to loans. So there's definitely this Judaic, Masonic, Talmudic, Zionist influence that's been taking place. That is a very big part of the picture. It is a complex picture, but it does tie together. We've sort of had to do some detective work. We've probably missed some pieces, but there's no question that our world is headed in a satanic and globalizing direction towards a satanic, tyrannical world government. I hope I've answered that question as best I can. Dana, in the little time we've got, maybe you should try to summarize what the rest of the book is about.
Sure, sure, go ahead. Thank you, Fred, for your phone call.
We have a chapter after Freemasonry. We have a chapter on environmentalism, and we talked there about how environmentalism is a pretext for control and regulation. We have a chapter on the control of the arts and how people rise up in the entertainment world much as they do in the political world because they're chosen and not really truly by popular selection. We also have a chapter called The War on Faith, where we talk about the drive, the ecumenical drive to blend all religions together, and the modernization, modernistic influences on Christianity to degrade it as a faith have been part of that, to bring Christianity to the point where it can be consolidated with the others. And even Tony Blair, instead of the Tony Blair Faith Foundation, where he calls all religions to work together. We also have a chapter on cyber spying. We have one which I consider important on the use of vaccines. You know, the whole agenda of population control, population reduction. I have quote after quote from people like Robert McNamara, head of the World Bank, Ted Turner, Prince Philip and others talking about how the world population must be drastically reduced. A lot of people know that's happening through abortion. What a lot of people don't know is happening is that our health is being degraded through vaccination. And that may sound off the wall. How come my doctor doesn't talk about that? We quote many MDs in this chapter to the effect that vaccines are causing the great spectrum of diseases we see that weren't seen before, such as autism, ADHD, and all the autoimmune diseases that are taking place, as well as many forms of cancer. We also talk about weather control, and we talk about George Orwell's book 1984, how it's coming true in so many different ways. That's probably enough for me to say at this point, but we also talk about all the things we talked about from the top, the wars, the Fed, the control of American foreign policy, Vietnam, and the media.
Indeed. And, yes, all of those, things that you mentioned, vaccines and, well, you also talk about the, free trade and, the weather forecast and all of these things. And so you've covered so many things in this book. It's just amazing how many things that you have included. I mean, you could have written a whole book on each thing. But you've introduced all of these things. Now, in the chapter on environmentalism, you talk about the report from Iron Mountain, which was published in 1967, which I think is a very interesting report. And, we have 20 seconds. You want to say anything about that?
Sure. Nuclear weapons were the main threat to the survival of the species, but they'd become obsolete as something that could be used in practicality. They had to find a new threat to the species to control and regulate people instead of war, and so they chose environmentalism. And in the wake of that, you had all the scares coming out about acid rain and spotted owls and overpopulation and all the environmental threats, and that was the tool that they selected in the 60s, and we see it coming to today with the drive for the green movement.
Exactly. Well, we've run out of time. Thank you so very much, James,
Dana.
On the program. All righty, we'll have to do this again. Thank you. Bye-bye, listeners. I'll talk with you tomorrow.